This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome back to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. I'm glad to be on this journey together with you. What started as an idea has now become a start of a movement. My mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, and because of that, I'm so grateful to all my amazing guests and listeners from all over the world. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Get ready to get inspired, because here we go. But before we get started, let's give it up to our sponsor, Panos Emporio. Panos Emporio is Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand and has over 30 years of experience in swimwear. Panos Emporio offers bikinis, swimsuits, swim shorts, briefs, cover-ups, accessories, along with a fragrance collection inspired by Paradise Islands. The brand has a worldwide loyal customer base with dedicated followers ranging from Hollywood stars and top celebrity models to world-famous athletes and royal families. Go to panos.com to learn more. Today's guest has an incredible story and is in many ways similar to mine, and that is why I'm so excited. At age 13, he was overweight and the kids at school made fun of him. He had no idea why he was overweight because he was a very physically active, playing both soccer and rugby almost every day. One day, when he got home from school, he overheard his grandfather tell his mother that he thought he was too fat. He was devastated with his grandfather's comments, and he chose to find out the secret to having a lean and toned body. This was the start of a big life transformation over many years. Today he shares tools for a better life as a performance coach to entrepreneurs. Through his popular Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube channel, he shares advice on how to look, feel, and perform at your best with over 38,000 entrepreneurs in over 20 countries. His name is Mark Dama. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much, Peter.
I'm excited to have you here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
So I was very impressed by you this morning when I walked down to meet you, because you were sitting there having your meal box with your very, very intense, some fish, some salad, and you've already been to the gym, right?
Yeah, you know, it was funny. Last night, I got to bed a lot later than I wanted to. I got to bed about 11:30, which is late for me. I like to be in bed by 8:30, so I can get, you know, get to bed at 8:30, fall asleep about 9, wake up around 5:30, plenty of sleep, feeling good. But last night, for whatever reason, I ended up getting to bed later. And when the alarm went off at 5:30 this morning to go to the gym, I was like, oh, I really don't want to go. I want to go back to sleep. Yeah. And I was like laying there thinking, oh, shall I go back to sleep? And I was tossing and turning, thinking, oh, shall I get up? Should I go to gym? And then I was like, wait a minute. I'm about to go on Peter's I Love Success podcast. So I better get my ass up and get myself to the gym. So that's the story there. So I did get to the gym, had a fantastic workout, and I was just eating my breakfast when I got here. So thank you.
I love that.
You inspired me already, Peter.
Thank you. And I love that what you were saying, because this is normal. Even though you are a performance coach, uh-huh. You know all these things. When you're tired, you lay in the bed, you have those two voices in your head. Should I lay in the bed or should I get the fuck up?
Right? Yeah.
So you got the fuck up. And I love that. And that's because you had...
It wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy at all. But is it for anyone?
No.
That's the thing. I think a lot of times when we look at people, or when people that doesn't do this look at people, it's easy for him because he's healthy. Mm-hmm. He probably eats very well. He does, but it's not easy. Everybody has their problems. Everybody has their own things going on in their life. But you still got to do it. Mm-hmm. You show up for life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So we're gonna honor you in this show and your journey and the tools that you use with your clients. But let's start with this young kid, Mark, in Manchester, England. Yeah. So how was life growing up there? And can you just walk us through that day until your grandfather, you overheard him say you were fat? Because I had a life-changing moment as well. I'm born and raised in Sweden, but my origin is I'm Macedonian.
Oh.
So during the summers, I went to my grandfather and grandparents and relatives. And I remember one moment, I think I was 11 or 12, I was sitting in his lap and he was feeling my fat. He's like, "You're too fat." And that, I think he forgot it right away. But for me, I never forgot that. And after that, I don't know if it was in a good or bad way, but it changed my life because I had that in the back of my mind and I wanted to be fit, you know. And I was training all the time, just like you said. I was doing soccer and rugby. I did karate, but I was still a little bit overweight. And that moment when I read that, was this is interesting how someone's word can actually impact you that much, and we have to be careful with how we express ourselves. So please.
You know what's funny about that, like, words can have a huge effect, and I don't think my granddad was thinking too much about it, but I'm actually glad he did do that, because it made me take responsibility and transformed it. And to all the listeners here and the viewers, what's interesting is actually Peter and I, we're born a month apart.
Yeah.
You're May, what day?
May 29th.
May 29th, I'm June 24th, both 1985, so that's interesting.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, so growing up, I was really quiet, really introverted child, really quiet, didn't have much confidence. I actually used to get bullied a lot in school because I grew up in a really white area, North Manchester, town called Rochdale, very like working class town. And if you're listening to this, you can't really see, but I'm like half black, half white, mixed race. And there really wasn't many black or mixed families in the whole town. You know, I think there's like three in the whole town of, you know, quite a few thousand people. And so I got quite a lot of racism growing up. You know, I was fighting in elementary. I remember being 4 years old fighting.
Yeah, British are tough.
Yeah, like, because, you know, I'm like, people were like making fun of me.
Yeah.
And then I remember being 8 years old and getting spat in the face at school because of my color. And it was, at the time, it was weird because that was just normal life for me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what got me into judo, because I needed to learn self-defense, right?
Yeah.
And then, anyhow, I went into high school, which in the UK, you go at 11. There's no middle school in the UK anymore. And in high school, the same thing, you know. I had low confidence. I was good at sports, good at rugby, good at soccer. But again, you know, I'd have older kids coming to fight me because...
Were you small? Because you're pretty big now.
Well, I was tall, but I wasn't like muscular or anything. I was like pretty tall. I wasn't muscular. And I was a bit overweight. I was just a bit skinny fat, but I was a bit overweight. And I came home. They'd make fun of me at school for being a bit overweight, and the girls would make fun of me, and I was like, oh, whatever. And then I came home one day, and my grandfather told my mum that he thought I was too fat. So then my mum said to me, "Mark, your granddad thinks you're too fat."
Yeah.
And the way I took it was like, man, you know, I'm getting made fun of at school for being overweight. I come home and my grandfather's making fun of me. He's like picking on me. And it really upset me. And I was like, you know what? I'm tired of this. That's it. I'm never going to be called fat again. What do I need to do? So I went into school the following day and I spoke to like the guy who was like 13 years old, 12, 13. There was one guy who... Testosterone hit way early, puberty hit way early. He was like 6 foot, had an 8-pack, you know, really muscular. He was called Paul Gray. So I went to Paul and said, "Paul, how do I get a 6-pack, mate? You know, how do I do it?" And he said, oh, he took pity on me, you know, and like sort of put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Mark, come into school tomorrow and I'll bring something for you." I was like, "Really, Paul?" He was like, "Yeah, I'll bring it in for you." I was like, "Oh, thank you." So I go into school the following day and he did indeed have a little 6 weeks to six pack abs, men's fitness pull out, you know, the little booklets that they do. And he gave me that. He said, look, just do all the exercises in this every night. So I was like, okay, and will I get a six pack? And he was like, yeah, just do all the exercises. That's what I do. So I was like, all right, great. So I remember going home that night. I did like two sit-ups before getting cramp. I went back the next night and I remember I did six sit-ups. So one night I did two, the next night I did six. So to me, that was progress. I was like, wow, you know, this is working. Yeah. And then I just kept asking my mum to buy fitness magazines and learn about the nutrition. I'd do the training. And I remember the first thing that I learned about nutrition was that water is good for you. That was the first thing I learned about nutrition, that water is good for you, because I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know water was good for you. I didn't like the taste of water. All I used to drink was soda, milk, and concentrated fruit juice. That's all I drink. Like Coca-Cola, Fanta, like drink and concentrate. That's it. I didn't drink water. So I was like, man, water's good for you. Okay, well, these magazines are saying it. So how about I'll just drink water for 2 weeks. I won't drink anything else. I'll just force myself to drink it for 2 weeks. And sure enough, I did. After the first week, I actually liked drinking water and it was fine. I felt a lot better. And after 2 weeks, I'd lost like 5 pounds or something.
Oh, wow.
So then I was like, okay, keep going down that route. So I did. By the time I was 15, I was in great shape. I was in awesome shape. By the time then, I was really into training. I was like playing rugby, like pretty high level quite often. Then I went to college where I studied sports science and physiology, and I was playing rugby at college. I wanted to be a professional rugby player. And then I got a bad knee injury. And what was interesting is at the time, because I was like the ugly kid who was out of shape and I was always being made fun of for being fat, when I got in shape, that became my whole life. That became my whole identity. Like me being a great athlete and looking great and being a great, you know, being really strong and being a bit of a jock, as it would say in the UK, that in the US, that was my thing. So when I had this bad knee injury, tore my ACL and like had like a misdiagnosed and I couldn't play rugby, I sort of lost my identity. I sort of like was just left with Mark instead of Mark the athlete or Mark the, you know, Mark the tough rugby player. And that actually sent me into a bit of a spiral of depression, where I just didn't really like myself. I mean, I created this whole front of who I was, which was based around being an athlete, and then behind it, I was empty.
It's so interesting what you're saying, because just to reflect on the beginning, why you actually started working out, it was out of pain. You were fed up. And I think one thing that I want to hear your opinion about this, because a lot of people are afraid of pain. Mm-hmm. But I think to really get that motivation, a lot of times you have to have the pain to be able to move forward, because people will stick with something that is half good all their life. But when you have pain, you got to change, right?
Yes.
What's your opinion about that?
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, there's the biggest motivators for human beings are moving towards pleasure and moving away from pain. Yeah. And as you know, Peter, the biggest motivator of the two is some people are more motivated to move towards pleasure. The majority of people, including myself, are more motivated to move away from pain.
No, you're right. So one thing that I would like to ask you, because we're all about sharing tools, could you guide me through just a short meditation, how I would do? We don't have to do the whole thing, but just so we can see how we can give tools to the listener, what they can start with.
So I'll share that with you right now. And for any listener or someone watching, if they go to my website, www.markdharma.com, that's MarkDharma, yeah, markdharma.com.
We'll share the link also.
Share the link /meditate. Yeah. So markdharma.com/meditate. I actually have a free meditation guide, which will teach you exactly how to get started.
Wonderful.
So a very, very, very simple meditation, yet very effective, is simply just closing your eyes, breathing in and out through your nose, just normal breath, normal breathing, and placing all of your attention on the feeling of the air coming in and out of your nostrils. 100% of your attention purely on the feeling of the air going in and out of your nostrils. Now, here's what's likely going to happen. You'll be able to focus on that for a moment or two, and then your mind will start thinking about something else. It'll be like, why am I doing this? This is boring. Or you're going to be doing something else. Or you'll start daydreaming about what you're doing later, or what happened last night. Or just your mind will likely go to anything else except focusing and concentrating on the air going in and out through your nose. That's just how the mind works. However, this is training. You're training the mind to focus on the present moment. You're training your mind to focus on what's going on right now in the present moment. So when your mind inevitably does drift off, you bring it right back to the breath. As soon as you realize it's gone, you bring it right back to the nostrils, in and out. And at first, it can be very, very challenging. Very, very challenging indeed. But over time, as you keep training, as you keep doing it over and over again, it gets better. It gets easier to focus. And what you'll notice is it gets a lot easier to focus in everyday life. It's easier to focus on that essay that you're writing for school or college. It's easier to focus on the work that you're doing, whatever that is, writing that book or whatever it is you do for work. It's easier to focus. It's easier to focus in conversations when you're having with friends, loved ones, anyone. It's easy to be there and actually listen to them instead of thinking about what happened yesterday or what you're doing next. Like, it's easy to be there in the present moment. And what you'll find is that by being there in the present moment, by training that, life gets a lot easier. Life gets a lot simpler. Life gets a lot less stressful. You get happier. It's more fun. And you perform better in whatever you're doing because you're right there giving yourself the full attention, whether that's in martial arts, whether that's in work, whether that's in public speaking, whatever you're doing, you're there giving it your full attention. So it's a lot easier. So I recommend the simple technique. And as I said, you can go to my website and download the guide, which will talk you all the way through it. And 5 minutes is better than nothing. 10 minutes is a really good start. 20 minutes, you're going to see some real results. Anything more than 20 minutes, then you're starting to get to the Jedi level. So how's that for you, Peter?
I feel laser sharp.
You feel laser sharp?
Yeah.
Well, you've got an advantage. It would probably be easier for you to do that type of meditation than someone else who hasn't, because, you know, you're a world champion karate fighter, so you had to be totally in the moment. You're trained to be in the moment and aware of everything that's going on, because if you was competing and then you start daydreaming about something else, you're going to get punched in the face or knocked out with a kick or something. So you're not, you know,
you're so right. But one thing that I really love was the thing that we spoke about when you woke up this morning. So I think that a lot of times in this world, people are comparing so much, right? It's easy for him. It's one thing that I want the listeners to focus on themselves. So it's not easy for anyone to wake up at 5:30 or 4:30. No one wants that. I had last week, I had a guy called Ruben Canada. He's the founder of Jinja Beverage. And he said, I believe that almost everybody wakes up early, but most people go to sleep again. Mm. And I actually never thought about that, but I think a lot of people do. So it's about doing it, right? Let's talk about mornings. I'm actually working on a book. It's based on the guests I meet on my podcast. It's going to be about morning routines. So I know you are a morning person. What's the one thing that you need to do in the morning to have a good day?
Great question. I would actually say it starts the night before.
Yeah.
Because I know we're talking about getting up early, and I think getting up early is great, but what's the secret to getting up early?
Go to bed at time.
Go to bed early.
Yeah.
That's it. So if you want to have a good day, the best thing you can do is get a good night's sleep. Because if you don't get enough sleep, you're probably going to be grouchy and in a mood, and your brain's definitely not working optimally. 50 years of research show that most people need between about 7 and 9 hours sleep. And everybody tends to have a good idea of how much sleep they really need. Some people can get by on less than that. Some people need a bit more. By and large, though, 7 to 9 hours sleep is what the research shows is ideal. And most people intuitively know. So for me, I know from having 32 years of experience with myself so far that I really need about 8 to 8.5 hours of sleep to be golden. You know, if I go to sleep before 10 p.m., which is what I recommend people do, if I go to sleep 8:39 before 10 and I don't have an alarm, usually I wake up about 8.5 hours and I feel great. I'm like fully refreshed. So I would say that first of all, it starts with having a good night's sleep. Because yeah, this morning I didn't get as much sleep as I usually do. I got like 6 hours or something. But tonight I'm getting an early night. Tomorrow I'll be getting an early night. So it definitely starts with your sleep. And that's really a message I wanna share with people, because I used to think that, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, you don't need sleep. Sleep's for losers. You know, you get up and you don't need sleep. Just get up and hustle. Well, that's not at all what the research says. And that's not at all what the top athletes in the world are doing. Tom Brady, the arguably the best quarterback of all time, he's been going to sleep at 8:30 for like the last 10 years or something. Every night, 8:30 p.m., he's asleep. Because we know from the research that human beings, our physiology is modulated by the sun. Like, we're on the sun's time. When the sun goes up and the light gets on our eyes, naturally that wakes us up. When the sun goes down and we're not around all these artificial lights and TV screens and laptops and cell phones, when it's dark, we usually just get tired and want to go to sleep, like, because our brain is modulated by the sun, our physiology is. And I say to people, if you've ever been camping and you're out in the wilderness and there's not much light around, usually when you're camping, you find that you tend to feel tired really, really early. It's because, well, yeah, the sun's gone down and there's not a lot of artificial light around, so you feel tired. And you usually wake up really early when the sun comes up, like, that's how we're designed to live. You know, that's what we've been doing for the millennia of being around. It's just recently, the past 100 years or so, these artificial lights have mean that we can stay up longer than we actually would do. So it's I'm like the anti wake up, you don't need sleep. I'm like, no, you need your sleep. Focus on your sleep.
Yeah. But what do you say though to an entrepreneur that said, that's bullshit, I'm building my company here, I need to work 80, 90 hours a week to create this? How do you, what do you say to that person?
Well, you say to that person, you know, if you want, you're working harder rather than smarter. Your brain isn't functional. You know, your brain is not performing at your best. You are not making the best decisions if you're sleep deprived. Simple as that. Think of a time when you're really, really tired and ask yourself, when you're really, really tired, is that when you have the best ideas? Is that when you're the best, when you're speaking to your spouse or your family? Is that when you're the best you? When you're really, really tired, is that when you're best in the gym or training? You know, are you the best at performing your skills when you're really, really tired? You know, in the US and a lot of countries, there's laws, well, actually here in Los Angeles, there's laws around the sleep laws. So if you're working on a movie set and you finish at like 4 a.m. in the morning, you're not allowed to go back into work for like 12 hours or something. You can't go back till 4 p.m. If you're driving a truck, you can't just work for 20 hours. Like, there's laws in place where you need to go to sleep for a certain amount of time before you can start driving again. Well, why is that? It's because you're a danger to yourself and to everyone else when you're sleep deprived. Being sleep deprived is actually, the research shows, it's equivalent to being on drugs oftentimes or being drunk. So if you're working 80, 90 hours, how many of those hours are effective hours? How many of those hours are you just wasting doing mindless tasks that aren't moving you forward in your business at all? You're just doing it, being busy instead of effective.
No, I think you're so right. I want to thank everybody for watching and listening in to the I Love Success podcast. I had a wonderful time today with Mark Dama, and I'm so grateful he was here. If you like this podcast, give us a 5-star review on iTunes, share us, and help us spread this mission, because I can't certainly do it myself. Mark can't do it himself, but if we add each other together, we can do great in this world, and that's what it's all about. Thank you guys, and have a wonderful day.